Hello, I'm Helena Wang, the Asia Executive Editor of The Lancet. Today, I'm joined by Professor Jie Chao, the Executive Vice President of Peking University, Director of Peking University Health Science Center, President of Peking University Third Hospital. Jie Chao and I will discuss the Lancet Commission on Women's Reproductive, Maternal, Newborn, Child and Adolescent Health in China. Through the podcast, we will use RMNCAH to represent women's reproductive, maternal, newborn, child, and adolescent health. Professor Chao, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Please discuss your involvement in the commission and why this work is so important for China's RMNCAH health development.
Thank you, Helena. I'm very honored to have this special opportunity to lead this Lancet RMNCAH Commission. In the last 3 years, Dr. Li Song, Professor Jun Zhu, and me, as the co-chair of this commission, worked with 8 international commissioners, 13 domestic commissioners, and other 7 authors, and finally finished this Lancet RMNCAH Commission. It's really a milestone event in China reproductive, maternal, newborn, child, and adolescent health development whole field. In this commission, focus on the RMNCAH related field, we used and analyzed a huge number of data and figures. Actually, many data and figures were published here for the first time, to show the achievements and valuable lessons from China over the past 70 years, and also highlight emerging health problems and challenge in each field, including reproductive health, maternal and neonatal health, child and adolescent health, as well as the health service system, and then to propose relevant strategies and recommendations to achieve the RMNCAH-related targets in the SDGs and Health China 2030. Also, we aim to share some valuable lessons from China with other countries, especially with low-income and lower-middle-income countries, and also to draw on experience from other countries to improve China's RMNCAH system.
Thank you. What are the main priorities for the future developments of RMNCAH in China?
In the next 10 years, China has been committed to achieve SDGs and Healthy China 2030. The focus of RMNCAH has shifted from reducing maternal and children deaths to growing demands for high-quality health care. In the field of reproductive health, the main priority including the 5 key points. First, how to address decreased and delayed fertility intentions among Chinese couples. Second, how to respond to the increasing prevalence of infertility and the widely application of assisted reproductive technologies. Third, the prevention and control of sexually transmitted disease. Fourth, the screening and treated of reproductive cancer and breast cancer. Finally, the prevention and response to sexual and gender-based violence against women. As to maternal and newborn health, we call for more attention to several issues, including first, safe motherhood, reducing the incidence rate of postpartum hemorrhage and an indirect obstetric cause of maternal death. Second, stillbirth, preterm birth, birth defect, and other neonatal disease. Third, maternal nutrition and breastfeeding. And finally, the maternal mental health. In terms of child and adolescent health, the main focus should be put on first injury and traffic accident, second high calorie diet, sedentary lifestyle, smoking and alcohol, male pair and other health risk factors, third children and adolescents mention mental health, the fourth, early child development and child protection, especially in the rural life behind children. As the last for the health system, the main priority are calling for more attention to IMNCH human resource development, especially improving the number and quality of pediatrician and midwifery. Also including improving the competence of RMNCH service in premier healthcare and improving RMNCH service equity and quality. And important is to pay more attention and actions on financing risk protection on women and children when they seeking high quality health care that they need.
You just mentioned the increasing prevalence of infertility in China. So would you please discuss infertility, advanced maternal age and the miscarriages as areas for action to 2030, Healthy China and SDGs?
In China, infertility has been a neglected health issue for a long time, partially because of the one-child policy. Since the end of the 2015, China has relaxed his population policy and began to the two-child policy. However, the fertility desire among Chinese couples was not stimulated as expected. Chinese couples' fertility intentions have decreased, especially in these younger couples, which has resulted in advanced maternal age. We often defined as the maternal age as 35-year-old and above. Infertility, miscarriage, birth defects, and other adverse pregnancy risks. Because the number and the quality of oocyte decrease with increasing maternal age. According to the new monitoring data and survey result from my team, the proportion of pregnant women with advanced maternal age in China has rapidly increased to 18%. The prevalence of infertility in China increased from the 12% in 2007 to 15% in 2010, and then reached to around 18% in 2020. This data based on our new unpublished data in the National Reproductive Health Survey. Up to 2017, the ART cycles has over 1 million. Also, I noticed that the Lancet published a new series of miscarriage in the last month. The authors estimate that miscarriage rate is about 15% among all pregnancies, with 1 in 10 women experiencing miscarriage in their lifetime. Recurrent miscarriage is less common, affected about 1 to 10% of women in their lifetimes, but with more complicated causes and risk factor. So in this commission, we call for that the best measure of prevention for infertility is to become pregnant and give birth at appropriate age for women. That means the best age for have a baby. Actually, the best age around is 22 to 28 years, or at least not more than 35 years. Also, we need to strengthen reproductive health service, including reproductive health education and counseling, premarital screening, preconception health care, and infertility assessments, as well as the diagnosis and treatment of infertility. For the miscarriage issue, unfortunately, there is little reliable evidence on the epidemiology and cause of miscarriage and recurrent miscarriage in China. Therefore, further research is needed to improve understanding of the epidemiology of causes of miscarriage to stressing screening and assessment of physical, lifestyle, and genetic factors, and to provide psychological counseling and support to these couples who experience the miscarriage, or especially recurrent miscarriage.
You just mentioned that prevalence of infertility in China increased from 12% in 2007 to 80% last year. In this commission, you made a recommendation that fertility rates should be increased and the reproductive health rights fulfilled. Would you please be more specific about how to achieve increased fertility rate and the reproductive rights in China?
As you know, China has stepped into an era of population aging and low fertility. According to new national census data, the number of live births in 2020 was only 12 million, with a reduce of 2.6 million compared with the live birth number in 2019. At the same time, the total fertility rate has reduced to 1.3, which means that one couple has only 1.3 children on average. Such low fertility desire can be attributed to the development of women's status in education and employment and economic independence, people's changing attitude towards marriage, family, and fertility. The couple's increasing stress in the job and the lives, along with increasing concerns of life quality and increasing childbearing costs, especially in huge investment to access to high quality education resource for the next generation future. So there is an urgent need for prenatal policies, not only including further lifting the two-child policy, but also including improvements in maternal and children welfare, pregnant-friendly workplace, the provision of more affordable child health service, and improvements of fairness in education, employment, and other fields in the society.
Thanks so much for the clarifications. My last question is about you. You have had a successful career as a leading female scientific and a clinical researcher. With new attention to and the motivations to strive for gender equity around the world, how do you feel women's leadership in medicine in China can be promoted and utilized and made be more visible and recognized in the world?
Actually, in China, we have a saying that women hold up half the sky. Female accounts for about 40 among all scientists and researchers, and have playing an important role in all research field. For the education field, medicine is both science and art. Women's soft, sensitive, and persistent characters make them more suitable for their jobs and leadership positions in the medical service on all their research teams. In the last year, during the COVID-19 pandemic in Wuhan, Hubei province, National Health Commission dispatched about 50,000 medical staff to assist the pandemic control and treatment in Hubei province. Females account for two-thirds among all medical assistance staff. Among all medical professionals all over the country, females account for about 70% also. The proportions must be higher in the maternal and child health department, such as pediatricians, gynecologists, obstetricians, midwifery, and so on. in this Lancet RMCAH commission, among 24 commissioners, there is 17 female commissioners, also more than 70%. And all three co-chairs are female too. Women has made outstanding contributions to the development of maternal and child health in China. And in the medicine field in China, female doctors bonded together and organized the Chinese Medical Women Association in 1995. Focus on the female doctors' career development as well as protecting their working right and interest by themselves. I'm the current president of this association. In our association, we have set up 50 specialized branch on each clinical subspecialty. In each specialized branch, several top-level female doctors lead and organize academic research and training in their field, help female doctor in a rural or remote area to improve their clinical skills, as well as training the young female doctor to become the further leaders. I know in many countries there is such association organized and leading by female doctors themselves. Hope all female doctors, nurses, female medical scientists and researchers and other female health workers from China and the rest of the world can be working together, stand together and create a beautiful future for ourselves.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. That's a very beautiful future we can envision. I look forward to more women's leadership in medicine in China and the world.